Indeed, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for your presence and, Lord, manifest presence and anointing in this place that is here to help us to love you more. And Lord, we yield ourselves unto you, that Lord God, as we gather in your presence under the covering of our fathers, as your word goes forth, you will reach into every heart. And Lord, those things that are holding us back, you will break those bonds, Lord, and you will help us, Lord, to tie ourselves as bond slaves unto you, O God, so that we and you will be one. We will cleave to you because you are our life and you are the length of our days. And so, Father, as we go into your word this afternoon, Lord, we come in faith. We come confessing our sins, receiving forgiveness and cleansing under the authority of the name of Jesus. We come under the covering of our fathers and come to ask for fresh mercy, unction from your throne, that the same unction that is upon my heart would be upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren and everyone that is listening to this message in the name of Jesus. So your word will come forth, Lord, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, that it will flow from you through me without contamination into the hearts of your people, including my own, doing an internal, eternal work, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, loving you more, knowing you more, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be concise, to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, redeeming the time as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, in the name of Jesus. And as your word goes forth, Father, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be opened, let encouragement and strength and a lifting come to us, helping us like that man at Gate of Beautiful to run in into the temple, Lord, into the very presence of God, and to dwell therein. Let your will be done as we minister your word, Lord, this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Once again, I want to say a big thank you to the Lord God and also to my parents, Pastor Olubi and Mommy, who have once again have given me the privilege to bring the word this afternoon. And I thank God for their lives, because their lives really are an inspiration. You know, their sacrifice and dedication, you know, their commitment both to God and to us, you know, is unwavering. You know, and their single-mindedness of focus, they really inspire. And I just pray that the Lord will, like Pastor Doye prayed this morning, that they will see the travail of their soul over their seed and us, their spiritual seed, and they will truly be satisfied that it was worth it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, brethren, because I know you're with me, supporting me all the way. Amen. All right. The Lord dropped a word in my heart. Let's go straight into the word. And I thank God for the Bible study and even the ministration of the choir. So I know that this is what really God wants to talk about. It's the S word. And it is submission. Submission to godly discipline. That's the title. This kind of topic, hitherto in the body of Christ, it doesn't excite when you talk about, like, as you talk about prosperity, you know, but the body of Christ is coming to a place where they will appreciate that word, submission, because it is really the key to becoming the highest and the utmost and the best that God ordained you to be, you know, and there's no other way to do it. I was inspired by the Bible study, I'm sure you were, by the message that Pastor brought last week on Sunday, the Bride of Christ. Wow. I was inspired, greatly encouraged, and challenged, and humbled. You know, and I saw every time he kept saying, it's not the will of God, but, you know, it's for all those that make up their mind that they want to have it. It's not the will of God. And I said, oh Lord, why is it that we can exclude ourselves from the best that God has for us? He told us that there were 3 days in the church. The first day, God used to make sure that the canon of scripture was compiled. The second day, God made sure that that canon script that was compiled was sent to the known world at that time. The British Empire and all of everybody that played a role in all that. So that everybody at least has a knowledge of it, you know, and the revelation. And that we who are privileged to be alive in the third day, is our privilege to fulfill everything that was written in the canon of scripture. And God does not ask us to do what we cannot do. And so, in this third day, we are born for a purpose. And this is the purpose for which we are born. Amen. And if you look at submission, it's really Jesus' most distinguishing feature. It is the most distinguishing feature that Jesus had. It is the one that he said we need to learn of. Let's look at the Bible in Matthew 11, 20 to 30. Quickly, thank you. King James Version. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. God is talking to us today. If you're if there's something you're carrying, there's a burden you're bearing, God is saying, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That yoke is the yoke of the life of God. And learn of me. That's my punchline. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Rest there is a type of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So he's saying that if we learn of him, if we learn to be meek, if we learn to be submissive, he will take us from the outer court and he will deposit us right into the holiest of all and make us a part of the bride company. That's what God has promised us. So we have to learn of him. We see it again in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Next verse. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So he had to learn it. And so we have to learn it. If the groom had to learn it, the bride has to learn it to be compatible with the groom. Because the bride and groom have to be compatible. And so, God is asking us to learn of him. And we learn of that submission by allowing godly discipline to work in our lives. He learned it. He made it. You can learn it. And you will make it. That is what God is telling us today. He's coming to encourage us. And tell us that if there are some things that are giving you doubts and you're wondering, he's saying, lay them aside. That he is able. He's the one that called us. And he's the one that is going to fulfill it. Amen. Look at Revelation 14, verse 4. It's very important to understand. The bride is a peculiar church. Let's read it together. These are they which are not defiled with women. The spirit of Babylon. For they are what? Virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Amen. Alright. These are they that the Bible says that his name is inscribed in their forehead. What is God telling us? He's telling us that if the Lamb had to learn meekness and lowliness, because we follow him everywhere he goes, we're going to learn it. If the Lamb had to play with strong crying and tears, because he did so, we must learn it. If the Lamb had to end up perfect, tempted yet without sin, we also have to learn it and end up where it ended up. That's what it, because we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Amen. So what is discipline? Discipline can be defined, is the dictionary defines discipline as the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. Is actually in the Bible, is actually in the dictionary, using punishment to correct disobedience. So and they give example, school discipline, parental discipline. So discipline is something that it goes all the way through. It came from God and everybody follows it. Otherwise there will be no order. Amen. That's and he goes on. So what is godly discipline? That's tied to submission to godly discipline. What is godly discipline? It is the practice of training oneself to become like God. You allow God to train you to become like Him. You submit yourself to the training. You don't get up. You don't give up. You stay there until the job is done. And then God Himself will release you on graduation day. There's going to be graduation day. And you will graduate in flying colors in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Now, Pastor spoke last week and was talking. He said, people say that discipline, when you talk about discipline and submission, you're trying to control. And so the Lord told me that all men are already being controlled. You are being controlled. If you are a man born of a woman, you have sin nature in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Now, when you get born again and you give your life to Christ, you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you say that prayer, there's a supernatural transformation of your spirit that causes that spirit to be recreated in an instant, so that all things are passed away and Christ takes his place in your spirit. But in our soul and in our body, we remain largely the same. The satanic nature, the Adamic nature, whatever nature you want to call it, is from Satan. When Adam was cut off from God, Satan plugged in and gave Adam his nature. So if you are born of, that's why Jesus could not be born of a man and a woman. He had to be an immaculate conception. So that sin nature is the residual in the soul and in the body. That's what God is saying. And all men are being controlled by that nature in the flesh and the power of the devil that is in the air. So you are already being controlled. The Bible says he will come to save my people from their sin. That's why Jesus came, to save us from that control. Now, you think you are the one doing it. It's so intelligent. It's so strategic that you don't know you are being controlled, but you are being controlled. He puts the thought. He synergizes it with a feeling. He sets up this. Everything he's doing by his power. He sets up the circumstances, and you think that it was your idea. You think that you thought, and then you tell, because you felt a feeling. You know, you say, my spirit told me. It's not your spirit that told you. Somebody's telegraphing what you're doing. It's important to understand that. Look at Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. So there's a fundamental problem all mankind have. And we all start there. But we can rise out of it. That is what God is talking to us about today. Look at John 8, 34 and 35. Pastor Dale touched on that today. You know, let's just look at it very quickly. Jesus answered them, verily, verily. When he wants to tell you something that you are not likely to believe, he stresses it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is what? The servant of sin. Men are serving sin. Sin as in S-I-N, nature. You are serving it. It's telling you, do this and you do it. The day you decide not to do it, you feel a burden. You feel a pressure. That is when you know that it wasn't you doing it. The day you dare to say, I don't want to do it again. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, what I want to do, I don't do. The one I don't want to do, that's the one I do. What's that? Control. Somebody's already controlling you. It's the person that wants to set you free that you're calling control. Again, he's the one controlling what you just said. That word that you have been controlled is coming from him. He's the father of lies. So look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 8. Amplified version. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So to Christ the Messiah did not exalt himself. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. I beg your pardon. Hebrews chapter 12. 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Thank you. Right. And have you, let's read that. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal? An encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons. God is already addressing you as the finished product. Even when you have not gotten there. Remember, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he hadn't died. So it's faith. So God by faith, as far as God is concerned, for you and I, is a done deal. To be a member of the bride of Christ is done. All right, let's say, my son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected of him. Next verse. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. Amen. Next verse. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Next verse. Now, if you are exempt from correction and left without discipline, in which all of God's, he says children, but his sons, share, then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons at all. This is the separation between children and sons. We must submit to it. Look at verse 10. Jump to verse 10. Thank you. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as it seemed proper and good to them. But he disciplines us for our certain good, certain, that we may become sharers in his own holiness. He wants to receive us into his bosom. So that's you must understand, that's his purpose. Even when he looks, there's a hymn, and behind a frown, no, there is a smile. I can't remember. There's a, one of those hymns like that, you know. Yes, behind every frown, there's a smiling providence. You know, so God is behind. What it is, love. Love is the reason for the discipline. It is love. It is the fervent, passionate love that wants to draw you and I from where we are and bring us to where God wants us to be. He wants to free us from satanic control and satanic domination, so that you can say, I will, and it will be you saying it in together with God, and the thing will be done. That's what God wants. So he's not trying to control, he's trying to deliver. He's trying to liberate from the sin nature and these clutches on us, because we have free wills. Now the key is this: we must not allow ourselves to be cursed children. Here he calls it illegitimate children. But it's the same thing. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Message Bible. 2 Kings 23 and 24. Very quickly. You have to be quick. Thank you. Right. 2 Kings 23. Thank you. Next verse. That's 23. You're on 22. Right. Let's read together. Another time, Elisha was on his way to Bethel, and some little kids came out of the town and taunted him. What's up, old bald head? Out of our way, skinhead. Next verse. The prophet was bold. There's a word here. Young people, you must have respect and regard for elderly people. People that are and it's old enough, it doesn't matter who it is. So long as they're older than you, you must give them reverence. It's extremely important. And give gap. These children were very irreverent. They were very rude. And because there were 42 of them, no children, the more we are, there's nothing you can do. Will you beat all of us? What will you do? If you know children, you know that. So that thing is there. There's might in numbers. You know, Elisha turned, took one look at them, and cursed them in the name of God. And two bears charged out of the underbrush, and knocked them up about, ripping them limb from limb. 42 children in all. Now, you can say, why did he do that? Okay, but the question is this: why did they also do that? So it's on both sides. But what I want to bring out is this. The Bible says he cursed them. Remember that the Bible says a curse causeless shall not come. You know, Balak told Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And God told Balaam, he said, they cannot be cursed. They are blessed. So already the children were in an environment. They made themselves the prey. So when the curse came, it stuck. If you are blessed, you cannot be cursed. But likewise is also true. If you are cursed, you really cannot be blessed. Doesn't matter what they say. So the important thing is to be blessed children, not cursed children. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter 2, 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Now give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. Let's read together. They have eyes full of what? Harlotry. Insatiable for sin. So they are full of sin. 7 times 6, 42 of them is 7 times 6. 7 is complete, 6 is number of man. So they were totally carnal. Carnal children. Totally carnal. And there are Christians that even grow up into adults and they're totally carnal. But it says they beguile and bait and lure away unstable souls. Their hearts are what? Trained. Trained. Who trained it? It's the devil. He's training people in lust. In lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, he trains us in oversleeping. He trains us in overeating. He trains us in a lack of self-control. He trains us in pride. Who taught a child to do this? When you tell them to do that, just they give you the shoulder. Who taught them? It's the sin nature. It's training. Our God wants to stop that training program and enroll you on the divine program, training you in humility, training you in righteousness, training you in intercession, so that you will not be sleeping in prayer. You'll be sleeping when you're watching a movie. Hello. Yes, you'll be sleeping when you are watching a program. You are watching something stupid like Big Brother, whatever. You'll be sleeping because your spirit cannot handle that kind of rubbish. When it comes to prayer, your eyes will be alert like somebody on drugs. Addicted to righteousness, house of Stephanas. They have addicted themselves. You can addict yourself to God. And that's what God is inviting us to enjoy. So we must learn submission like the Lord Jesus. So it's not controlling. I think that point is quite clear. So that we can enjoy the glory he paid for. Look at Galatians 3, 13 and 14 very quickly. Because, you know, the nature of sin brings a curse with it. That nature of sin comes with a curse. Because the sin is not going to stay dormant. It's active. It's working with the power in the air. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't tell. But it's there. It's working. It's everything that you can feel and touch. It's working. It's in the spirit realm. Programming. Some people have been programmed by that same sin nature to die at a certain age. It happened to their grandfather. Happened to their father. It's the devil. But he's not doing it physically alone. You must understand. He's doing it by the sin nature. This thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. He's doing it by the nature. Understand that. It's by the nature. The nature is stealing. So if the nature is there, you are already going to experience loss. Because the nature is designed to steal. It's designed to kill. So if it's there, you experience a measure of death. If it's there, you experience a measure of destruction. So you must hate the nature and make it your life's ambition to get rid of it. That's our life ambition. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Thank you. 13, quickly. 13. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Now, the Bible says the law is good. The law is not cursed. The curse is that the law exposes you to. When the law says, do this, and you don't do it, then because sin does not make you do it, then the curse automatically comes. The law is good, but it's working negative because of the sin nature inside. So when you say curse of law, you must understand that. Okay, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he took away the sin. Next verse. That... The word. I can't hear you. The word. One more time. The word. Of what? Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through who? Our bridegroom. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's the promise of the Spirit, Pastor, he spoke about today? To become like him. To become like him. Grow up into him in all things. As the promise of the Spirit. And then to be crowned with the glory of God. And then use that glory to finish his work upon the earth. Alright, that's the will of God. Why is this message important? Alright? Because God wants to see the travail of his soul. And it's going to be satisfied. And he doesn't want you or me to suffer loss. We will not suffer loss in Jesus' name. Amen. But you have to back your amen with decision, determination, diligence, and importunity. It must be backed. It must be backed. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, 34 and 35. Proverbs 6, 34 and 35. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For jealousy is the rage of a man. This is the man. He's a bridegroom. He has taken yam and help me, all the other things that they take. He has taken it to the house and paid the price, and they have promised him his bride, and he has seen it in a figure. My bride is coming. Isaac was meditating. He's a type of Jesus Christ, meditating, waiting for his bride. And the servant of Lord, the Holy Spirit, was bringing Rebecca to him. And he was meditating. And then the bride is turning around and saying, I'm not doing it again. I love another man. I just discovered. I'm trying to find myself. And we reject it in Jesus' name. It won't happen to us, though. But these things happen. On the day of the wedding or the day before, some people just change and say, I'm not sure again. I'm not sure I want to spend my life with this person. After all that we have done. Yes, but that's what is happening. So, no, you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So the life you are supposed to live that was going to end in death because of the sin nature, he took that life, went and paid the price for you, and came back. You are hoping he wouldn't come back. He came back. And then when he came back, the life he now gave you is not your own. Your own life was already gone. Now you're supposed to live his own life by the faith of the Son of God. Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, you should what? Set your affections on things where? Above. Where Christ seated. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Where? In God. So we are like that. When they liking you. Is it really time for prayer? Is it time to wake up again? When did we sleep? Remember that it's not your life. It's not your own. You are bought with a price. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything he paid for. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Next verse. He will not regard what? Any ransom. Any substitute you are going to give him. He knows exactly what he wants. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Some of us are trying to give God gifts. The gift of career success. That's not what he paid for. The gift of being, I'm rich, I will now give to the church. Is that what he died for? That's not what he died for. He died for you and everybody that's in your household that you are supposed to be watching over. Yes, it's you plus everything you have, everything, not just things. And we try and make career success like the main thing, you know. And believe that when we become that thing, we will use it to glorify God. No, he wants your heart. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes what? Observe my ways. Your ways must become his ways. then your career is acceptable as a sacrifice. That's what he's saying. No substitute. Look at Romans 8, 29 and 30. Amplified. Romans 8, 29 and 30. This is the plan. This is the plan. For those whom he foreknew. How many people did he foreknow that are here? Put your hand up. We are all there. Amen. He foreknew us all. For he foreknew of whom he was aware. And did what? And did what? Loved beforehand. Tell your neighbor, I was loved beforehand. I was loved beforehand. God loved you before. God loves you now. God's going to love you forever. Give God a clap of him. How great is that love? Beautiful hymn. Jesus, my Lord. What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. It's his own initiative. It's his own effort. It's his own material. Everything is from him. All you need to just say yes. We'll say yes in Jesus' name. He also destined from the beginning all those he was aware of beforehand for ordaining them. That's our destiny. Not success. Not riches. Not being influential. Those things have their place. But this is the main goal. Let's keep our eye on the goal. To be molded into the image of his son. And share what? Inwardly. You can't run away from it. You can't redefine it. His what? Likeness. That he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Next verse. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Acquitted. Made righteous. Putting them into right standing with himself. And with divine life. Doesn't say that, but with divine life. And those whom he justified, he also did what? Glorified. Raising them to what? A heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Brethren, you've got heavenly dignity. You are somebody. Amen. I know you hear that line very often. And God makes somebody out of a nobody. It's true. A state, a place where your voice will matter in the eons of time. That's the destiny. Heavenly dignity. And if you have heavenly dignity, you will of course have earthly dignity. Because the earth is on a lower level of energy and is a prototype of the one in heaven. That's the original. This is the copy. I know it looks like this is the original. It's not. It's a copy. It's a copy. Bible says, see that thou makest it unto the pattern that was showed thee in the mount. That's the original. This is the pattern. Amen. So that's what God is saying. Okay. So I noticed. Look at Esau was a successful one. Bible says he was a cunning hunter. He was a successful hunter, but he lost the birthright. And he once lost the birthright, there was nothing else. Well, but he was successful. So that successful career cannot substitute for your destiny. Moses was mighty in word and deed, yet he had to learn submission in the desert. But when he landed, what did he become? He became a god. Pastor David said he's born. He became a god unto Pharaoh. That's where we are going. And that's just the beginning. Because you are living in a better testament, established upon better promises, with a high priest that ever lived to make intercession. Give God a clap of you. That's where we're going. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about submission. Our Lord Jesus Christ was more spiritual than John the Baptist. And John knew it. John knew it. But he submitted to him. He submitted. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and 15. He's not thinking that he's better. He's given to me in the King James. But Jesus, take it one verse above, 13 actually, you should start from 13. Thank you. Right. And Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized of him. Next verse, thank you. But John protested strenuously because he knew, having in mind to prevent him, saying, it is I who need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Next verse. But Jesus replied to him, permit it just now, for this is the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to perform completely whatever is right. Then he permitted him. What is God saying? God is saying that for us to be able to fulfill our destiny, because after he baptized him, John was lower. But then you don't just submit to those in authority over us, and God and the Word. You submit to people that are under your authority when it is in line with the will of God. Submission is a way of life. God has hidden some of the richest and deepest blessings behind submission. Look at what Jesus said. Let's just do it the way we normally, the way it's supposed to be done. You are the baptizer. I'm the flock to be baptized. Let's just do it like that. And when he did it like that, guess what? The heavens opened. Nobody knew why heaven was going to open. He opened. And the Bible says the Spirit of God came down upon him. And he got the Spirit without measure. So what if he didn't agree? Brethren, you submit to fulfill destiny. It takes submission to fulfill destiny. No man can receive anything except the first be given him. You can't take your destiny. You can't snatch your destiny. It is given to you. It is given to you when your heart and your hands are open and you are ready to receive. It's not under your control. God has locked it up. Amen. So and the same thing, after he got the Spirit to our measure, when he was going to do the first miracle, his mommy said, they have no wine. The question is, whose will do you want to do? Your will or God's will? He said, nevertheless, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That must be our heart cry. Our focus must change from me having my way, from me always doing what I want, for it going the way I planned. Nothing wrong with planning. Our pastor always, God bless him, he's always reminding us every day. What's going to happen? Okay, let me see. Tomorrow, I'll get in touch with you. Or do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Are you God? If you walk with pastor, you know that standard. Are you God? No. Why? He's acknowledging God in all his ways. Give God a clap offering. It's as a joke, oh. It's as a joke. He's saying jokingly, but for those of us that understand, we understand that you don't jump before the Holy Spirit. You allow God to lead you. Mommy will say that before, when God has not spoken, I'll be standing. I cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. But once she hears, go. You will walk day and night and you will get to that destination. That's what it takes. It takes you submit your will. It is your desire to do his will, not your will. And that's what he did. Again, that's how the first miracle manifested. In submission. It is in submission we fulfill our destiny. Isaac had to submit to Abraham and allow himself to be tied. Thank God Abraham had trained him well. So when he asked the question, in that it did not make sense, where is the animal for the sacrifice? And that is that God will provide. You know, the Yorubas have been saying, Aboro, answer from Oluwabi. You don't tell a smart child everything. You tell him some part, then the Holy Spirit will make up the rest. Isaac had a relationship with God. That's the proof right there. He did, because God must have spoken to him or given a picture of what that is, and he just had absolute trust in oversight. Absolute trust in his daddy. My daddy cannot do me evil. My daddy cannot do me wrong. God is our daddy. If he tells you to submit, can he do you evil? It may look like evil. It's good. It is set you free. When the three Hebrew boys said, we are not going to bow, they made the fire 7 times hotter. Is that not the time to think, ha? Hey boys, are we still? they were adamant, but respectful. Resolute. My God can do me no evil. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you have that kind of trust? You have to develop that kind of trust. It doesn't matter what the eyes do see. Lord, you are so good. It's good. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. So that's what God is trying to tell us. So that the bride must submit. Isaac had to submit for his daddy Abraham to inherit. But guess what? It was I and the children. So the same way, we also have to train our own children to submit. But the person is about to say, train yourself. You learn to submit. Then when you submit, then you can now train your children, because you lead by prayer. Pastor has taught us that. You lead by prayer. Then you lead by example. That's how our parents lead us. Prayer, example, then instruction, and then discipline. You cannot administer discipline without that background of prayer. How can you know what the will of God is? Are you God? You cannot administer without an example, because you've gone through it. So you can know how it is. Then you give the instruction. By the time you get that level, the thing has already been a part of you. Then you can give the instruction, knowing that everything to fulfill the instruction has already been provided. And then you administer the discipline in due time. Amen. All right, what's the next reason? The next reason, that's the first one, is that this issue of submission must be habitual. It must be habitual, because if it's not habitual, we will not receive sufficient life to be able to fulfill, you know, all that God wants us to. Look at Psalm 133. Pastor shared it on Sunday. I'm just going over it again. Look at Psalm 133. Give it to me in the NIV, please. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 133, verses 1 to 3. NIV, thank you. Thank you. Behold! Well, I'm used to the King James. There's no behold in there. All right. King James is the real one. All right. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. But then you and God and oversight must be on the same key. Unity. Unity. Unity in love. Look at it. Is like precious oil poured on the head. That's Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Running down onto the bed. That's oversight. Running down on Aaron's beard. Down upon the collar of his robes. Alright? And that's where we are. And it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the bride. It's the anointing. That's how the anointing in the bride company, that's how the anointing works. It comes from the groom. It comes through faithful hige, you know, in the like the type of Esther. Faithful eunuchs who are dead to themselves and made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God. And through them, it comes down to you. And the Bible says that for there, the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. But it's going to flow through, like what the Bible says in Colossians 2:19, joints and bands. And those bands must be open. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:12 and 13. This is a continuous exercise, brethren. You know why? Because of the sin nature. The sin nature wants us to be independent. It wants us to be rebellious. It wants us not to listen to anything. Do your own thing. That's the sin nature. It wants to clog those barrels. So you see, look at 2 Corinthians 6:12. It says, you are not straightened in us. Give me 11, because 11 gives the background. Thank you. Oh ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is what? Enlarged. Next verse. You are not straightened in us, but you are straightened where? In your own bowels. Next verse. Now for a recompense. Because our hearts are enlarged to you, now recompense. Because Jesus loved you before, not now. He loved you before, and when you were a thought in God's heart, and he loved you when you were born. He has been watching over you. You are thanking God now for the last Saturday of August 2022. And it's going to take you all many, 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 many more years. Because he has loved you and is watching over you, he's asking you, now recompense me. give me back in the same coin which I gave you. Divine love. I speak unto you as my children. Be ye also enlarged. That means that there is a part of practice. And that's where the training comes in. Amen. So that every time you practice the correct thing, you know, your bowels become more enlarged. That's the way it is. Look at Esther chapter 4, verses 14 and 17. This happened to Esther, but it's also applies to us. This is Mordecai, her uncle, okay, who is giving her instruction. She is in the palace and she doesn't know what is happening. And Mordecai is telling her, this is the day of the Lord. That's the time of the say, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You are born for this day. This third day. God did not give you birth to you the second day. You are in this third day. So everything that applies that is available to Christians in the third day is your own. You are born to the kingdom for such a time as this. Next verse. Next verse. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. This must be our answer. As it calls out to us. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night and day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. You're not going to perish because there's a smiling providence behind every frown. She didn't perish. Amen. Look at the next verse. And so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So he commanded Esther, she submitted. Now she had asked him to do some things, he also submitted. So in that atmosphere of mutual submission, Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on which day? This third day. That Esther put on her royal apparel and stood where? In the inner courts of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gates of the house. Next verse. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained what? Favor. How did she get it? Submission. Favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. This is taking place every day in Good Morning Jesus. To the glory of God, by the mercy and the grace of God, every day the golden scepter is stretched out. And we see miracles happening in our lives, in our hearts. Things that will not move ordinarily because of you, they are moving. But the key now is we need to consolidate. Amen. That's what God said. We need to consolidate. So you must be in Good Morning Jesus every day. You must be. Because the deliverance came first for the Jews as a body. It came for them as a people. It wasn't for individuals. Esther wasn't looking out for herself. It was looking out for her and her people. So we wrought victory, collective. Then in that collective victory, you begin to walk into your individual on your own. But the victory would have not been possible if you are doing it alone. Because of the power of corporate prayer and the apostolic anointing of the fathers. Under the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Very important to understand that. Okay. So that submission is important. It must be habitual. Look at the example of Moses. Numbers chapter 20. Verse 8. Very quickly. It's God talking to Moses. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak in unto the rock. What did he say to the rock? Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and he shall give forth what? His water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. Just by the way, the thought just came to my mind. What are you going through? What are you going through? God said, I should tell you, there's water in the rock. What you thought is not possible, the one that can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask is telling you that there is water in the rock. The key now is to submit to the instruction. And let's move on. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Verse 8. Jump to verse 11. We know the story, but it's important to just say. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he did what? Smote the rock twice. It was a little detail. Instruction. Instruction is our life. It was a little detail. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Next verse. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron personally. It was personal. Everything, everybody was hailing and saying, hey God, miracle, miracle, miracle. But say, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this conclusion of into the land which I have given them. Moses did not enter the promised land because he rebelled against the instruction. He was angry. They provoked him. But you must not let anybody provoke you to walk out of love. It's not an excuse. I was provoked. So when he acted like that, God said, you should have been more afraid of me than them. You should have been more afraid of how I would feel about what you're about to do than the anger that was driving you because of what they were doing. You should have been looking at me, not at them. But then don't look at people, though. They will make you sin. And I'm speaking as somebody, I'm talking to you as somebody who has almost made other people sin. So because you have to be spiritual all the time. You have to be allowing the life of God to be filling you all the time. So you can be picking God's thoughts all that. Otherwise, that satanic control, it will kick into motion. That's our default setting. Our default setting is sin and disobedience. You don't feel anything. If you just leave yourself, that's how you will be. To activate godliness, you have to allow the power of godliness to work through you. You have to generate it. You have to release it. You have to receive it. And then you are able to walk in godliness. But so Moses was switched off here. And they made him sin. Okay? He didn't fulfill because he didn't submit. But look at the same Moses. Number 16, 20 to 31. Number 16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 28. Quickly. Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. Who's he talking to? Korah. Korah came with 250 princes of the congregation and said, you take too much upon yourself. All of us are holy. All of us are holy. With all this one you're talking about, there's too much wahala. All this one of going to the promised land, taking us out of. We are okay. The wahala is too much. At 12 midnight, the cloud has gone up. The pillar has gone up. So we have to wake up and move. Why all this inconvenience? The wahala is too much. This discipline, this training. We're not going to have it anymore. So the people gathered with them. They brought the people along. Some people didn't even know what the issue was. Just followed. So God said, you and Aaron, clear. Let me destroy this. God said, Moses, please God, for one man's sin, all of them, I tell them. And so Moses told them, said, all of you, leave these wicked men. Leave them alone. And leave them. So the people were, also they're wicked. I didn't know. So the people separated themselves. And then we came to this point, but he said, I have not done them out of my own mind. This oversight, godly, true, spiritual oversight, wait to hear his voice. They are sons of Issachar that see afar off, so they can tell by the grace of God and see clearly, because they are also practicing the things that God is telling them. They're not telling you and they're not doing. They are doing what they're asking you to do. And there are more things they're doing that you are not doing. Occasionally, God just said, okay, update what they are doing so that they'll do a little bit more. But they're doing so much more. So Moses is telling them that what I'm telling you, I'm not saying it from my own mind. I'm not trying to control anybody. Next verse. Say, if these men died the common death of all men,
or they'll be visited after the visitation of all men. Then the Lord has not sent me. Amen. All right, next verse. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up, God's going to judge them. Just to buttress what Pastor Dewey said, he's going to judge them because their cup is full. And he said, with all that appertain to them, and they go down quick into the pit. Express. Then as you understand that these men have provoked the Lord. These people have been provoking God. Next verse. And it came to pass, as he made an end, God didn't even let him finish of all these words, that the ground cleaved asunder that was under them, and they went straight down. It's not our portion in Jesus' name. But that is the reward of rebellion, not submitting to godly discipline that God has for us. Amen? All right. So, how do we do it? Pastor spoke about it last week, by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit. There's a prayer that we pray every morning when we're acknowledging the Holy Spirit and ask Him to come and help us each day. That the blood of Jesus Christ will know that God will perfect the love of God in us. That love will travel, from our spirit. So the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our hearts so that our hearts are now connected to God and the love can flow from God to us. Amen? All right? And that love now flows, to us, and then it flows into our will and our mind through the word of God. It flows into our emotions and our body and our circumstances through the power of the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues. So it's by the blood, the word, and the spirit. It's the same thing he spoke about last week when he said that in the temple they beat the gold into the temple. The gold was thin sheets. Then they would beat it into the wood, so it could no longer it had cleaved together to the wood. It could not be separated again. That's what the life of God does. So you choose life. So you love me, obey me. Cleave to me. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Alright? But where are we going? Is this aspect of the gold being beaten? The same thing with Noah's ark. The gold was beaten into the wood. That's why the ark did not leak. It was pitched within and without with gold. So that the ark would stand. So, to understand, this pitching process is the same thing as shaping and refining in the quarry. Bible says all Christians are hewn from Abraham and Sarah. So we are like hewn out of the rock that is Abraham and Sarah. Isaiah 51, I don't want to waste time. I want to hit the point. Okay? So we are hewn out. I'm just repeating what Pastor said. Okay? Now, so that we are hewn out. Now, that hewn rock has to be shaped. Now, it's that shaping process that we're talking about submitting to. But to submit, you must understand what the attitude you must have. Look at John chapter 5, verse 44. Let's give it to me in the Amplified Bible. John 5, 44. Now, let's read together. How is it possible for you to believe? This is what affects us believing. How is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from who? One another. And yet do not seek the praise and honor and glory which comes from Him who alone is God. God wants us to seek the praise and the honor and the glory of God above the praise and glory of men. That's what the Pharisees did. Has he believed on Him? Has they believed on Him? Who has believed on Him? Man, that's the person that God has endorsed. So looking at the crowd is going to take us astray. You must look at what the Word of God is telling you. Bible says the Word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is that word that we want to beat in and make it flesh. That's what God is talking about. So how are we going to do it? We're going to use the blood. Confess our sins in sincerity. John chapter 1 verse 9. If you confess your sins. If you sin, doesn't matter how many times you sin. Our righteousness is not based on how many right things we think we have done. It's based on regular confession of your sin. It's a habit. You have to train yourself like that. Father, I confess my sins. Or, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Mercy activates grace. Grace releases the blood. The blood gives you, removes the sin and gives you life. So you are washed by the blood, like it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let's just look at that. Hebrews 10, 22. But it's important to understand that we are using these weapons skillfully. Bible says, let us what? Draw near. God doesn't want you afar off. You are a member of the bride company. Draw near. Draw near with a true heart, sincerity, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's by the blood of Jesus. And our bodies washed with pure water. The water of life of God, not pure water. All right? The water of life of God, okay? All right? Now, what's the next one? Receiving eternal life. John 20, 31. These are fundamental scriptures, but you must look at them. John 20, 31. Quickly. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name. That's why you get in Jesus' name, I have life. That's the way they got it from the Bible. So anytime one wants to say that, this is written that you might know that he believes that he is the Christ and that the Son of God. And once you are believing, you can get life from him as often as you say that. And so you receive that life. Amen. That divine nature is now flowing within. It is that nature, like Pastor D was talking about this morning. Nature allowing character, wisdom, and ability to come to pass. But character, so it's that nature that now allows the character to be formed in us. Amen. Alright, but we now move on to the next one, which is confession of the word. Now this, brethren, there's this confession that pastor gave us. I just want to say it, you know, I'm sure we do it, you know, but we are saying it because we need to do it. Alright, and it is submitting my will. I submit my will to God and to those in authority over me. You say it. I submit my will to God. No, because without God, I cannot survive spiritually or physically. Then I submit my will to those in authority over me. And without them, I cannot survive physically nor progress spiritually. Then it's behind me. Okay. Then I submit my will to those that are, you know, under my authority. That submission must be beaten in. Must beat it in. Must beat it in. So, because it's that submission that is beaten in that plays out in our choices, plays out in our words, plays out in our actions. Amen. So, that confession is very important. Ephesians 6 2 and 3. Ephesians 6 2 and 3. Let's look at that very quickly. That attitude is what sets us on the path to our destiny. Everything starts with attitude. So, that's why we pray that prayer. And of course, there is the background of the four prayers. The prayer for humility, the prayer for love, the prayer for wisdom, I beg your pardon, and the two prayers for love. No, they must be in the background. But these ones are the ones that really push you forward in the place of submission. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment we promise. Next verse. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live as long. If that mean well with thee is trying to talk about the fact that you may be in the place that God has ordained you to be. That's what he's talking about. And be well with thee. It's not just well prosperity or physical. That's not what he's talking about. You know, just like Joshua 1:8. You know, that this book of law will not depart out of your mouth. But obeying, you know, you should meditate upon it day and night. That, you know, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. It's not talking about money. It's talking about prospering in the purpose of God for your life. And then the money will come. Because if you prosper and you are in good health, as your soul prospers. So the first thing he's talking about is the prosperity of the soul. That's what he's talking about here, is the prosperity of the soul. And that one brings all the other prosperity. Good health brings strength. good children, children that are trainable. You know, and because you have the force of spiritual land. So every child God gives you, you have the power to train them. That's how it works. All right. No, and all that, you know, is working on the background of watching and praying throughout the day to keep our attitude. See, brethren, when you pray with travail, you know, using Zion warfare technology, you are flying an aeroplane in the air. You know, and you are bombing Satan's defenses around you, in your life, in your family, in your home. All right, all that you're doing that, and all that is done. But when you are walking the Spirit, you are going from house to house. You are going on the ground. You cannot occupy a place from the air. You can decimate the enemy's defenses, but you still have to go ground on the ground and go door to door and get the enemy out and flush them out until the place is fully occupied. Then you can see this place is under our control. So this aspect of walking in the Spirit, every 6 hours at every opportunity, these prayers that we have to pray, they are extremely important. Look at Matthew 26:30-39, and that's where we see the Lord Jesus Christ pass his exam. Matthew 26:30-39. I need to round up. And when they had sung a hymn, okay, yes. And then he said, "Then my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. No, tarry ye here and watch with me." That watch. What are you watching? You are watching with the word. You are watching the word. You are watching. You are keeping your eyes on God. Next verse. And he went a little further and fell on his feet and prayed to, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." So he recognized that there was a force that was trying to make his will go back to, you know, doing what he would want to do and not what God wants him to do. So he knew he was under attack. Do you recognize when you're under attack? It's important to recognize when you're under attack. Sometimes we may know, he was very sensitive by the mercy and the grace of God. But sometimes we learn from our actions. You do an action, that action already tells you that there's something wrong. You know, you blew your top. It already tells that you missed it somewhere. You need to correct it. Or something you should have done, you know, and you did not do. An omission. Something is wrong. You need to get it right. Quickly, that's how we learn. You'll be quick to correct, because you are watching. Amen. That's what he said. Say, "Let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So, right there, he's watching and be under his breath. "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." That's what we must be saying. That's what the bride company is saying. "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." Under pressure. Not, "Lord, destroy my enemies." God will destroy them if they need to be destroyed. But what we focus is the kingdom is within. The enemies were sent to hasten the process. Understand it. It's an intelligent thing. The enemies were sent to speed up. They are catalysts. They remain unchanged. They come in, speed up the reaction, remain on you, and remain essentially intact. And they speed up the process, and you move further. So you can actually say, "Thank you, my enemy." That's what they're there for. So it's not destroying them. It's praying in the Spirit and letting God take care of everything. Okay, but watching yourself, and that's what he did. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Next verse. And he came to his disciples, finding them asleep, and said, "What could not watch but one?" So he had prayed 1 hour. So this watching and praying must have the background of traveling prayer. He had prayed 1 hour. Then he went back again and prayed another hour. Then he went back again and prayed another hour. They were sleeping the whole time. All right? So that is what God is saying. You generate the power of godliness in sufficient measure to counter and overcome satanic power in the air. The next thing is obeying instructions promptly. Okay? The Bible says, "Take fast hold of instruction, for she is thy life." And we saw that with Moses. Okay? It's very important. Now, brethren, there's some scriptures that Pastor has told us, Pauline prayers. First of all, we have general confessions. These booklets that we have. We have general confessions that we should be doing once a week. But Pastor has told us to do some daily. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 20. He said we should be doing it daily. Please, can you put that up? Thank you. Ephesians 3. No, not one. Yes. He said, Father, I pray that you grant me, according to the riches of God, to be more strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man, so that Christ will dwell more in my heart by faith. Next verse. So I'll become more resilient and grounded in love. Where? In my will. I'm able to comprehend more in my mind. With all the sense, what is the breadth, the length, the depth of the body of Christ? And so to know more. Where? In my emotion. That love is moving daily. He said another one last week. He said 2 Thessalonians 11 and 12. This is the prayer you should pray daily. Father, grant me, you know, vouchsafe me worthy of the high calling. That's it. Father, please guarantee me worthy of the high calling to be a part of the bride company. You have called me in Christ of his perfection and fullness, and fulfilled this day in and through me all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of every word. Power. When the power comes, you will do it. Next verse. So the name of Jesus will be glorified where? In me, by your power. And I, in him, by your goodness. According to by your mercy, his grace. These prayers, you have to put them there. If there are other things, you need to put them there. First Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 and 13. Bible says, know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And esteem them what? They pray it. And beat it in. Beat it in. I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. No walking in craftiness. Beat it in. And when it goes in, it will produce what goes. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. As we round up, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And what? Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Give that to me in the Message Bible. Message Bible can be a bit dramatic sometimes. Quickly. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are what? Alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of who? God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not his drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? We will not make things harder for our fathers. We make it easier for them in Jesus' name. But let's keep a watch on ourselves. This is what God is asking us to do. Let's bow our heads as we pray. By the blood, by the word, by the spirit. The truth of God must move into our soul and into our flesh. Repent. God is not condemning. And now love him back. Recompense him with the kind of love he loved us with. Quality for quality. Love over sight back. Them you can see. Them you can experience and interact with. You can handle of the word of life. So them you can love back. If you're loving them, you're loving God. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trembling out the gates where the grace of God has scored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. the trumpet.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat.
Not going back.
He is lifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, our God,
hey,
marching on.
Oh, glory,
glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
In the beauty of the lily, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make us holy, let us die to set men free. While God is marching, glory, 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 oh,
glory, glory,
yes,
hallelujah,
glory, glory, glory,
hallelujah,
oh,
glory, glory, hallelujah, our God is marching.
Let's lift up our right hand to God. We are asking God to march on by His truth, by His power in our hearts, in our life. March from our will into our emotions. March from our emotions into our body. March from our body into our circumstances. March on! Let's raise up our hand. Put a hand on our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word that you have sent to us today, that you want us as the members of the bride of Christ to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Heavenly Father, we ask for mercy. Guarantee me worthy of this high calling. You have called me in Christ Jesus to be a member of the bride company. Fulfill in and through me the good pleasure of your goodness and this work of faith with your power, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in me and I in him, by your mercy, by your grace and your help, that I will not go back, I will not look back, I will not turn back, I will not be stagnant, but I will march on as you lead me on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Meno bale kota rosa katam bo 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 on the benefit on the baba biyaban on the most mole every bo ba 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 ke la mare roba ba 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 selea roba ba 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 la lea roba bonde benio ba ba kasote shake le ve belende roba ba bireba roba bale manto kose shake le ve belenza rosa kanamati. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in need of healing, your mind, your body, just raise up that hand to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy. We come under the authority of the Lord Jesus, and on the covenant of our fathers. Your word has gone forth in the air, but your power is present to heal. So we send that word of healing, Lord, into their will, into their mind, into their emotions. We break every yoke in the name of Jesus. depression, discouragement, unbelief. We break your power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we send into their body every spirit of infirmity. We bind you. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. And we send that word to be grafted in into their mortal flesh, bringing healing, health, and cure. In Jesus' name, amen.